turn in your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 28, and we'll start there. It's great to be with you here again, Mountain Lake. This is, of course, one of our favorite places for June and myself to visit, and we just sort of feel like we're associate members here or something. I guess we've been here probably 10 times now. Okay. Maybe they don't want me to turn my mic on. The people do not want it. Okay, can you hear me? Okay. But it is great to be with you again. We have a table of magazines over on this side in the back. And we have just all kinds of, well, not all kinds, but a lot of different issues of the magazine that BIMI puts out quarterly. And it has just a lot of information on missions around the world. And then we have some that are magazines that we put out in the islands in the Caribbean. It's called The Islander. And we put that out quarterly, and that's just on the Caribbean. And a lot about the works throughout the West Indies. Now, all of that's free. And I'm not going to just ask you to take it. I'm going to beg you, please take them. Just if you're not going to read it right away, take it and put it someplace in the house. Maybe you'll run across it and read it later. But I'd like you to take that. And if you know someone else that it might be an encouragement to, interested in missions, take it and give it to them. We also have prayer cards back there. There are new prayer cards. It has an up-to-date picture. And now that's bad sometimes. I tried to get them to put one of about 15 years ago in, but they wanted to put one up-to-date. So if you'll take those prayer cards and, like the missionary says, take it and put it on your Bible or your refrigerator, whichever one you open the most. And but take that, and I'd appreciate if you'd just avail yourself of that material. But it's good to be with you again. And June, I've been looking forward to this time, and we're excited about the opportunity of this week. I want us to begin tonight looking in Matthew chapter 28, and then we'll go to Acts chapter 1. Of course, this is two places where God's command has been given to us to take the gospel to the world. And I want us to think about a particular part of it tonight. But in, let's pray as we begin, okay? Father, we thank you for the opportunity of this evening and this week. We thank you for this church, this congregation, these folks, and their faithfulness in the matter of missions. And not just the conference and not just their faith promise, but just being personally involved in the lives of missionaries and visiting missionaries and praying for missionaries. And just what you've done in this church over the years. And I pray that you would put your hand of blessing on this week. In just a very special, a very maybe an even an unusual way as far as us seeing some things happen that we just know you've done. And I pray that you would take this part of the service, the preaching, each evening and all day Sunday. And I pray that you would just open the Scriptures up to us in a way that we would see the world, the need of the world, and our responsibility, and how not you just desire to use us, but how we can be used. And I pray that you would, even though missions is just, you use the phrase old hat to some, most of these folks, I pray that you would make it very fresh this week and do some things that would stir hearts, because we see some things that maybe we have not seen before. And we realize that's what you do when we open the Bible. Now, Holy Spirit, give us understanding as you only you know we need it in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, the Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And here's the thought I want us to deal with tonight in this portion, and then we'll go to Acts chapter 1. I want you to think about the fact that at this time, this group of people were gathered together for a purpose. Now think about that. This is a God-appointed time for this group of people. This is not just something that these men came up with and said, hey, there's going to be a meeting over here. Let's all go over and see what's going to happen. Going to be some good preaching. No, this was a God-appointed time. Look in verse 16 again. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain, where Jesus had appointed them." Christ called this meeting. He instructed His congregation to be there. As a matter of fact, look back in verse 10. It says, "Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell My brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see Me." So He let them know what was going to happen. He instructed them what He was going to do. And now they are gathered together for a purpose. What's that purpose? They are gathered for a missions conference. They are gathered to have an emphasis on world evangelism. Now, Christ has trained them. He's been with these men for 3 or so years. And He has prepared them for this time. He has told them what was going to happen. And even though they did not grasp all that He said to them and all that was before them, He has taught them. He preached to them. He prepared them for this time. And now He gathers them up to give them the command to take the gospel to the world. This is a gathering for a purpose. It was a time for these men to meet with God, for God's purpose, for Christ's coming to this earth. And they have been taught. And now they must listen to the challenge. And as they listen to the challenge, they must make a decision. They must decide if they're going to agree with God, if they're going to listen to what's going to be told them at this time. They must decide if they're going to do what Christ is leaving them the responsibility to do. They are gathered for a purpose. It's not something they planned. It's something God planned. It's not something that they appointed. It's something that God appointed. It's not for their purpose of life and living. It's for God's purpose for them, for life and living. This is an important meeting. Now let's leave this place and turn over, and you might hold that. We might come back to Matthew 28. But turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Now, in Acts chapter 1, as the Holy Spirit leads Luke to write, beginning in verse 1, he says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Now that little word "began" there is an interesting word. It indicates that Christ started something that He did not finish. What was that? Getting the gospel to the world. Now we know that He has been involved in reaching people. We have many testimonies of individuals that have been influenced by Christ personally. We have many places where we're instructed about how He personally was involved in sharing the gospel with some individuals. Many came to know Him as personal Savior. But I'm sure we do not have all the places where He just one-on-one presented the plan of salvation. But we do have many. And yet, He has prepared this group of men to continue what He started. And now He's ready to ascend back to heaven. And He is giving them their instructions. Now notice what it says. Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up. After that, He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now notice verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. Now that little phrase in the beginning of verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them. That word together there, within the context of this phrase, has the thought of instrumentality. It has the thought of process. It has the thought of pattern. In other words, they were meeting to put something together. God assigned this meeting. God appointed this meeting. God brought this group of people together to put His plan of world evangelism together and give them the responsibility of carrying that out as Christ ascended back to heaven. I look at this and think about a pattern, and I'm reminded of how June used to, when our girls were home and teenagers, she would make dresses for them. And I would come home sometimes, and she would have all of this paper cut out, and it would be, you know, the floor would be covered with these different pieces of paper, all cut in different shapes and forms, and some of you know what I'm talking about, right? And then she would have the material, and she would cut it out in the form of that, and I tell you, when she would do that, that room was a literal mess. I mean, you couldn't go in there. You had to make sure you didn't step on it or get near it or move anything. And it looked like a mess until she started putting it together. And once that pattern was cut out and she began to put it together, then it became something beautiful, something usable, something profitable. And that's the thought here. Christ has been teaching this group of people. He has been preparing them for this time. And now He's ready to ascend back to heaven. He's completed what He came to do. And as He prepares to ascend back to heaven, He calls this meeting. He brings this group of people together for a purpose. It's a missions conference. It's a missions time. It's a time of commitment. It's a time of decision. It's a time of deciding, am I going to listen to God? It's a time of deciding, is this important? And it is important because it's God's business. It is important because it's God's appointed meeting. It is important because it's God's plan. It is important because God has saved them. God has brought them together. And God has moved into their lives for a specific purpose. Now, I say all of that to say this. This week is a gathering for a purpose. Now, we might, you know, we might say, well, Pastor Leatherman set this date and invited missionaries and scheduled this meeting, but we have to go beyond that. We have to realize God has scheduled this. Huh? God saved you. God put you in this place. Now, you think about that. Sometimes you look at your life and wonder, why am I here in this place? Why did God lead me here? Why did God put me here? Because He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has brought this congregation together. And God has brought us together for a purpose this week. Is it important? It had better be important to us. Because you see, God did not appoint this thing. God did not approve this thing. God did not bring this meeting together just to leave us alone. He's meeting with us. This is a time to meet with God this week. Because He has something He wants to do. And so you and I need to decide we're going to be open to God. This is His time. It's not our time. Not our time to decide what we want to do with. It's His time to decide what He wants us to do. He has invited us. He has assigned this time. He has scheduled this. And God has something He wants to do in each of our lives this week. Is it important to us? Are we going to look at this as God's meeting? So what did he meet with them for? What does He want to do? Well, he talked to them about getting the gospel to the world. In this portion of Scripture, down in verse 8, He says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world." So what's the meeting for? What are we gathered for? What were they gathered for? Hey, we're gathered for the same thing they came together for. This is just that's where we get our pattern. That's why we're here tonight. Because of God's business. Let me give you some reasons. Number one, it's for us to be reminded of our responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission and to start churches. To plant churches where there's no gospel preaching church. That's what the meeting's all about. That's what He talked to them about. Well, look back in in chapter 28 of Matthew again. What did He say? He said in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth." In other words, the word power there has the thought of authority. It's different than Acts 1:8. It has the thought of authority. What Jesus is saying there is, I'm getting ready to tell you something that I have a right to tell you. The Father has brought Me here. The Father sent Me. I have the authority to tell you what I'm getting ready to tell you. So you need to listen because I have the right to tell you. And then He tells them, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Hey, you know what that is? That's church planting. Whether it's in the United States or on foreign soil, that is church planting. When He talks about makes the statement there, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," He's talking about reaching them with the gospel. Taking the message of the gospel. When a missionary is called to a field or when someone is called to a place like the Clarks going to Pittsburgh, they're not called to go and take their personality and their abilities and their thoughts and their understanding. They're sent to take this. This is where the power is. This is what changes lives. Take the Bible and teach all nations. Take the Bible and share God's Word. And then what do you do once they get saved? You baptize them. The authority to baptize is in the church, not in the individual. And so he's talking about church planting. This is starting churches here. Now remember, he's called a meeting. These folks are together and he's telling them what to do. You go to a place and you teach the Bible and you share with them the gospel, and then once they get saved, you baptize them. In other words, you plant a church. Because when you're baptized into a congregation. And so he's talking about church planting. And then he says, once you baptize them, then you begin to teach them how they ought to do the same thing. How they ought to be ready to go out and how they ought to be ready to share that gospel. How they ought to lead people to come to that same saving knowledge and follow Christ in believers' baptism. Because you see, the teaching of worldwide evangelism is church planting. That's what a missionary is called to do. That is an exciting thing. Planting a new church. Now you imagine what a church does to a community. As you saw, and Brother Clark shared in his presentation, what would it be like if you were in a place with no church, no Sunday school teacher, no one to preach the Bible to you, no place to sing the gospel songs. Hey, there are a lot of places like that tonight. A lot of places around our country tonight where folks have no church to go to, just like that realtor over there in South Pittsburgh. There's no Baptist church. There's no gospel preaching church. Now, when you plant a church in a community, it changes things. It is a blessing to a community when God sends someone in to plant a gospel preaching independent Baptist church. That changes a community. And that's our responsibility. Now, who's going to start churches? Individuals do not start churches. Mike Clark does not start churches. He's not going over there to start that church. Churches start churches. Grace Baptist Church is starting that church. They're sending him to plant it. And that's the command that's been given to us. We are to start churches, and that's what our missionaries are led to do. We're sent out of churches to go start churches, and we come together to partner with those missionaries and send them. Now, I want you to think about your responsibility tonight. I want you to think about God bringing you together and using you to plant churches. Is that on your mind? Is that on your heart? That's our responsibility. You see, that should be a constant in our minds. We should be thinking about places where we can plant a church, where we can change a community, where God can use us. And this week should be a time that we realize God has appointed this meeting. God has brought us together. And one of the primary reasons is to start churches wherever He desires them to be started. Now, how do you start a church? Well, first you have to have a man. Now, I'm talking about a responsibility. I'm talking about a church involved in starting another church. First, you've got to have a man. You've got to have someone who is willing to plant a church. Someone God calls to specifically go start a church. Doesn't matter where it is. God calls that man to plant a church. And then you want to make sure that person thinks like you think. Because you want to start what you are and what you have here, right? Hey, Christ dealt with these men for some three and a half years, preparing them and indoctrinating them, preparing them for that time when they would go out and plant churches. So it begins with a man. Having a man that is in your congregation, a man that's here, a man that's ready to do that. And then you need a place. Once you have a man, then you can find the place. Many of you know Rick Connor. I'll never forget when Brother Connor came to our church. When Brother Connor came to Independent Baptist Church years ago, he was a mess. I mean, you look at him now, you wouldn't believe what he was then. The first time he walked into our church, he had a T-shirt on, tattoos all over, hair down over his shoulders. Some of you women would just adore his hair. Love to have the same. I mean, he was a mess. But God saved him. Changed his life. And there came a time when he was ready, after he had trained, to start a church. And I'll never forget driving with him to that area where he is now, and just driving through that area and saying, okay, what do you think? We had the man, but we needed the area. And we just drove. I remember driving through that area and God placing on his heart, this is where he wants me. Now you think about what it is now, what the church is, what God's done there, how God has blessed that community with that church and that pastor, the people that have been saved. And now just many men out of that church starting churches in other places. Why? Because the man was there. The place was there. And then you need the support and the other partners to help and all that's needed to put it into motion. And but that's what God wants to do. That's what it's all about. Starting independent Baptist churches. Now we send the missionaries to the foreign field to do the same thing. Many of you, I think, have been to Steve Sidler's, right? Oh, I thought you'd taken a group down there. Steve Sidler, do you support him? No. But he went to Keith DeSwayne. He's out of our church. But Brother Sidler went to Dominican Republic about 10 years ago. And tried to start a church in one area. God didn't let him do that. And then he went to this squatters area. Squatters area is a place where people just come in to an area just for a better life. They live out in the farm areas and rural areas, and they make maybe $25, $40 a week, and they move to the city just to have a better life. And when they come to the city, they usually come in with everything they own on their backs, riding a bus or maybe a moped if they have one. But that's everything they own. They bring their family in, get a little plot of ground, put them a lean-to up, tin, cardboard, whatever they can, and just settle, and they call it a squatter's area. They'll get a job, everybody in the family work that can, and they'll begin building a dwelling place. And over a period of years, as they build, as they can buy the block or whatever they build that house out of, eventually they hope that the government will give them that piece of property where they build the dwelling place. And Steve Sidler went into one of those areas. And man, it was difficult. Just everybody was working. All of them had just come in and squatted on a piece of property, and he could not get the adults to come to church because they were all just trying to make as much money as they could to build a dwelling place. So he just gathered a bunch of kids up, started with a bunch of kids. They were all just 5 to maybe 12, 14 years of age. And man, he just, that was his congregation. I can remember going down there years ago, and I went in, and they were meeting in a house at this time and turned it into a church building, had an auditorium, and he had all those young people organized. Man, they did everything. They would come in, they had to take everything out every service. They couldn't leave chairs, they couldn't leave PA system. They had to take everything home or they would steal it. So they had to set everything up, take everything down every service. And those kids, man, they were organized. They'd set the chairs up in the pulpit and the put the communion table out and the offering plates, and they would just set the whole thing up, and then we'd have the service, and then they would take it down. They'd count the offering. He had those kids counting the offering, recording it, and taking everything down. But you know those 12, 13, 14-year-old kids 8 years later were 20, 21, 22-year-olds. They became the soul winners. They became the Sunday school teachers. They became the deacons. They became the men that God called to preach. Now in that squatters area, there's an enormous three-story church building. It's the biggest thing in the area. And God has just blessed that area with that church in Kitasuenya. Why? Because God planted a church there. Now, it's an amazing thing how God has blessed that area. One particular individual, there's a guy there that's just, he's lost. He's a killer. I mean, he's a known killer in the area. But he likes Brother Sidler. He likes that church. He wants that church there. And he just tells everybody, you stay away from that church. You leave that church alone. One day, they put some new lights in, outside lights and some nice fixtures. And boy, somebody came in and stole those light fixtures. And this guy found out about it. He lived right above the church. So he put the word out. He said, tell them, those lights had better be back on that church by tonight, or I'm going to kill whoever took them. The lights were back on the church that night. Hey, a church changes a community. I mean, when a church is started, then God moves in. God begins to do some special things. Now, think about that area without that church. The church was planted. Why? I'll tell you why. Because God got in a place that He laid that on somebody's heart. And one of His appointed meetings. Now they've started a church. One of those young men that got saved, by the name of Alexis, he has been called to preach and married a young lady in the church. And that's another story, getting into the marriage thing. Now he has started a church. They have started a church out of their church in a place called Vietnam. And it's called Vietnam because it's like Vietnam. It's a war zone. It's a drug war zone. I mean, you could not believe the type of place. And this young man said, I know that's where God wants me. I know that's where He wants us to start a church. And they've already built a building there, started a church, and now God's going to do the same thing in that area. Why? Because that's missions. That's God's business, planting churches. Now, Mountain Lake Independent Baptist Church has a responsibility to be involved in church planting. When I came to Independent Baptist Church years ago, they supported 8 missionaries. And one of those missionaries, by the name of Ted Hummel, I'd never met him, but he was a missionary in Puerto Rico. And he had been in South America for a number of years, but now he's in Puerto Rico. And finally, June and I were able to go to Puerto Rico, and we met the Hummels while we were there. Now, they're in their 60s at this time. They're late in their life. Well, no, that's not as late as it used to be, but... you know, they were late in their service with the Lord. But they were in their 60s. and so June and I went to visit them. When we visited them, Brother Hummel, we got in his car and he took us for a ride through the area. It was in Calle, Puerto Rico, mountain town, a university town. And have you ever been in a car where it had mirrors all the way across the front? And mirrors down the side? Huh? If you ever see that, I would advise you don't get in the car. I don't care how nice the person is, it means they're blind and they need all those mirrors. Brother Hummel had us all over the place. I mean, tell you, it was, he scared us to death driving. But we went for a ride and visited with them, and boy, just had a great time getting to know the Hummels. Well, after that, Brother Hummel started a church, built a nice building there in Cayey, turned it over to a national. And then he took a man from the church, went down to the coast area in Santa Isabella, started another church in his 60s. Years later, I was able to visit Brother Hummel one time. He's in his 80s now. He can hardly see, hardly hear. I sit on his right side. Miss Hummel is gone. She's dead. And I sit on his right side, talk in his right ear. That was his good ear. And we talked for a while, and finally he said, "Brother Creed," he said, "I am so excited." I said, "Why is that, Brother Hummel?" He said, "We're starting a new church." He said, "Last Sunday on our carport, we had 35 people in his 80s. Why? That's God's business. God called him, and he listened to God. Hey, listen, this is God's appointed time, and God wants to deal with church planting this week. God wants to challenge our hearts to be involved in putting churches where there are no gospel preachers today. Amen? I'll tell you another reason for this meeting. It's an opportunity for God to reach down and call some people to surrender their lives to serve God in a full-time way, if we could label it that. It's an opportunity for God to reach down and draw some people to make a commitment to surrender their lives to do whatever God wants them to do. Now, we sit here tonight, and you know the danger? The danger of us is that we sit and we sort of know what we're capable of doing. Guilty? Now you think about it. We look at our own lives and we know our backgrounds. We know what we know and what we don't know. We know our abilities. We know our talents. We just sort of know where we are and what we are, and we look at ourselves and say, "Okay, I could do that, but I can't do that." And we just sort of put a barrier up that God can't penetrate because we know, when we really don't know doodly squat about God's business. Amen? We have no idea what God has planned for us. We really don't know what we could do if God had us. Huh? We really don't know what God could do if we just surrendered our lives to Him. I remember years ago when June and I first got in a church where we were challenged to serve God, and I've probably told you this story before, but we got in this church and we were really not very mature Christians at all. Didn't know much about the Christian life and about church and any of that. And we got into church in Elkton, Maryland, Baptist Bible Church, Tom Wallace. And we were, the first time in our lives, challenged to really serve God and live for God. And Dr. Wallace came to me and wanted me to teach a sixth grade boys Sunday school class. And I said, "No way. I'm not going to a sixth grade boys Sunday school class." And I'll tell you why I said that. I knew those boys knew more about the Bible than I did. And they'd asked me questions I couldn't answer, and I was not going to let them get me in an embarrassing situation like that. But you know, it wasn't but a few months after that that God reached down and said, "I don't want you in the Sunday school class. I want your life." And I had no idea what that was all about. I really didn't understand that at all, but I knew this much. God wanted my life. That night, I walked that aisle, not having a good understanding of what was taking place, but I walked that aisle that night and got on my knees and said, "God, you can have me. I'll do what you want me to do." And that totally changed. That was a God-appointed meeting that night. God brought that thing together. Because he wanted to reach down in a young man's life and said, "I want your life." Now, I want to challenge you. Don't sit here this week and determine what you can and cannot do. Sit here this week open to God. Sit here this week ready for God to reach down and touch your life and let you know what He wants you to do. He knows what you know and don't know. Huh? He knew what Moses could do and could not do. He knew what Gideon was capable of doing. He knew what the Apostle Paul or Saul was capable of doing. He knew what He was going to do in those people's lives. You and I have no idea what could happen in our lives if God had it. This is an opportunity this week for God to reach down and call some people out of Mountain Lake Baptist Church to surrender their lives and start on a path of who knows where or what God wants to do. Now, a third thing that He's dealing with here is faith promise giving. You say, well, where's faith promise giving in this? Well, it's a part of church planting. We see what happened in the Apostle Paul's life and realize that it all works together. When Paul was called out of that church there at Antioch, and that church at Antioch put their stamp of approval on him and sent them out. They sent them out to plant churches. They sent them out to start churches in places where there were no churches. And then we find later Paul writing the church of Philippi. You remember there in chapter 4? He writes to them and tells them how he knows how they cared for him. And talks about how they partnered together and how that church at Philippi supported them. And mentions many times how ye sent to me, ye sent to me, you cared for me. What's he talking about? He's talking about their involvement in his ministry and his life as he planted churches. How they committed themselves to give to him. And that's what it's about this week. It's just us being involved in faith promise. Now again, if we don't watch, we'll determine what we can and cannot do, right? Guilty? You know what it's easy for us to do? Is just say, well, you know, this is going to be a tough year and it's going to be, this may happen, that may happen, I may have to do this, or this is going to increase, and boy, everything's going to go up, and I think I'll just keep it the same. Huh? Guilty? And you might as well shake your head. We're all made out of the same stuff. We all think the same way, right? We all face the same fears when it comes to this matter of listening to God. But we need to realize that this is an opportunity for God to move our faith to a new level. This is an opportunity for God to use us in a greater way. And God's not going to lead us to do something that we can't do or that He's not going to do in and through us. So we need to make sure that we realize this is God's scheduled meeting. God has a plan. God wants to do something. God wants to speak to our hearts. God wants, and we need to consider three things. Number one, if you're not giving to Faith Promise Missions, this is a time that you ought to start. Every member of Mountain Lake Independent Baptist Church should be giving to missions. That's the command. That's the only way that you can be involved in missions the way God wants you to. Every member ought to be involved. And so if you're not giving, this is the time to start. Number two, if you are giving, this is a good time to increase. Everybody increase something. God, what do you want me to increase? Just ask Him. Hey, I'll tell you what, you can depend on God being honest with you. Amen? You can be assured He's not going to mislead you. He's not going to take advantage of you. God, how much do you want me to increase? What do you want me to do? And then number three, maybe you started and stopped, and this would be a great time to restart. Amen? And to reach that goal and take on new missionaries. So it's a time for faith promise giving. I'm convinced that faith promise is an area where God gets involved in an individual's life in a way that He cannot any other way, any other time. Why? Because it's God's business. It is world evangelism. It is reaching people. It is doing what Jesus began, but left the responsibility of continuing to us. Our responsibility just to get involved. I've shared with you, I'm sure, before, but I'll never forget when June and I went to Bible school. And we had been involved in a church where missions was a part, but never been challenged to personally give. Never had that place before us. And so we got to Highland Park Baptist Church there in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I had worked in management, manufacturing, and we got to Bible school, and I went to work for $2.65 an hour, minimum wage, 4 children, rent, utilities, kids wanted to eat every day. And we got to our first missions conference, and Dr. Robertson started talking about giving to missions. And I said, he cannot be talking to us. Man, if I don't get some money, I'm not even going to be able to pay my school bill, and I won't be able to take my midterms. Surely he's not talking to us. But by the end of that week, we knew he wasn't talking to us, but God was talking to us. And I'm convinced that that was a life-changing decision when we got involved in faith promise giving there at Highland Park Baptist Church. And I could share with you things that took place that I know were a direct result of getting involved in missions giving. Because it doesn't just have to do with money, it has to do with the spiritual part of your life. It has to do with God reaching down and changing your understanding about some things, giving you a new insight in some areas that you never saw before. Why? Because it's God's business. Because it's God-appointed time. God has brought this together for a purpose. This is God's meeting. God wants to meet with us. If you and I would become sensitive and just give God these next few days and keep on our minds and hearts every minute, this is God's business. This is God's meeting. God wants to do something. I want to listen to God. I'm convinced when it's all over, we'll be able to look back and see some things that God did. Are you ready to listen to God? Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed.